We're holding in the middle of the perek, talking about the story of Megillas Esther. We're up to the part where basically Haman has made this decree against the Jews that they should be destroyed and whatnot. And Esther and Mordechai came up with a plan to counteract it, whereby the Jews are going to fast for 3 days. And then Esther's going to go to the king, and then she has a whole plan how she's going to ask the king to overturn this decree. So up to the words, Bayom HaShlishi. On the third day of these fasts, Labsha Bigdei Malchus, Esther dressed up in her royal clothes. V'holcha v'karo l'melech ulohaman b'sudo she'asosa b'chamisho sar b'nisan. And she went out and she called the king Ahasuerus and Haman to a party that she made on the 15th day of Nisan. Kevan, by the way, the Gemara says this is coming from the pasuk of Vatilbash Esther Malchus, that she dressed in the Malchus. So Gemara actually has a machlekes. What does it mean she dressed the Malchus? One opinion says it means she put with her Ruach HaKodesh. The other opinion is she dressed in the royal clothes. So here we're going with the opinion that means that she dressed with the royal clothes. Once they were eating and drinking, Haman said to himself, "Oh, the king is making me great, and the queen, his wife, is exalting me. No one is greater than I in the entire kingdom." And the pasuk says, "Haman went out on that day very happy." At the end of the day, he was very happy. Now comes the downfall. Esther.
Does Haman know that Esther's a Jewish?
Pashas not. Because nobody knew that she was Jewish.
She's going to reveal it at that moment.
Yeah.
Right now, the next party.
Balayla Ahu noted. I don't want to ruin the ending for you. But Balayla Ahu noted Shnas HaMelech. On that night, the sleep of the king was moving, not that I was like moving. The king was stirring in his sleep. So the major says like this, but on that night the sleep of the king was stirring. What does that mean? It's talking about Hashem. Not that Hashem means the sleep of Hashem. Hashem was kilu kabiyachol unsettled. And because of that, the king in the land, meaning Achashverosh, he was also unsettled. He wasn't able to sleep. V'nivhal, and he was shaken up. V'omar mishnasa, and he woke up from his sleep. What was he so shaken up about? V'ra'a b'chaloymai, he saw in his dream, lohaman shenasa nasasayif lohargay. He saw in his dream that Haman took a sword and wants to go and kill him. And v'nivhal, he was surprised and shaken about. V'omar mishnasa, because of that he woke up and he wasn't able to sleep. So what do you do if you can't fall asleep? Amar Levnei Haman, he said to Haman's sons, Shamashav, the ones who served him, the Seferim Shalai, and his royal scribes. We're going to see later on that Haman's sons were the royal scribes. Likreis Bisvarim Leida Malash Avrol. He wanted his royal scribes to read to him his chronicles, his records, his personal diary or whatever, so that he'll remember what happened to him. And maybe that'll help him fall asleep or something. By the way, it says that the bnei Haman shamashav the sifrim shalei, the sons of Haman who were his servants and his scribes. The Radal points out an interesting thing that it says the word shamashav over here. There's a similar thing that we find in the Sefer Ezra. It's brought in Sefer Ezra when it's talking about that the Goyim wrote a letter to the Persian king against the Jews when the Jews were wanting to build the Beis Hamikdash. So one of the people who wrote the letter to the king, his name was Shamshai Sifra. His name was Shamshai the scribe. And Rashi in Sefer Ezra, Perek Dalid, and other Mefarshim, Esther Rabo, and the Targum on Megillas Esther, say that this character, Shamshai Sifra, mentioned in Ezra, is actually one of the sons of Haman. He was a royal scribe. There's actually another Medrash in Agadas Esther that says that Shamshai is Haman. not a son of Haman. But it's, so the Radal says it's like it's interesting that it uses this word Shamashav, which sort of maybe alludes to the, to this character Shimshai.
Isn't it worrisome to Achashverus to have such a one-dimensional, you know, set of advisors of people close to him, like all from the same family?
I don't know if he realized it at this point yet. Because he thought that Haman was a good guy, you know, he thought Haman was a kosher. He didn't think about that you know, even Haman is not necessarily the best person for him.
It's not practical in terms of,
right,
you know, staying in power for kings, you know. You want to stay, no matter what, you want to stay somewhat, keep other people on their toes.
Right. It could be that sort of this dream is going to help Achashverosh wake up and realize that, like, you know, what he's doing is not so smart. So these scribes who are serving the king, they open his record books. And they found the story that happened years ago that Mordechai told the king about Bigson and Seresh that were trying to kill him, that we discussed earlier in the parak, and that Mordechai saved the life of the king. But they didn't want to read that story in front of the king, because that story portrays Mordechai in a good light, and Mordechai is their father's enemy, so they didn't want to read it. So what happened? There was a nes that happened. The things that were written down, they started being read on their own. A nes happened that the words started saying themselves. There wasn't someone saying it. Shneimar says in the pasuk, "Vayihu nikroim lefnei hamelach." They were read in front of the king. Koreim leNeimar doesn't say that someone read them. Ela nikroim, the words were read as if they were read on their own. So the key is about this story of Mordechai saving his life and realizes that he didn't do anything to pay back the good that Mordechai did to him. So in his mind, he's thinking, what am I going to do to pay back this Mordechai character? I want to do something good for him. So what did he do? So the king immediately said to his servants, call for me Haman. He's going to, because Haman is his main advisor, his number one guy. He has to speak to Haman about this now. Let's see, what does Haman have to say? His servants said to him, oh, you want me to call Haman? Haman, he's coming, he's on his way already. Now this is a little bit shady. Omar HaMelech, the king said, wait a second, this is a little bit shady. This that I saw in the dream is true. Haman is only coming right now to come kill me. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Why is Haman on his way to my palace before I even called him? It must be he's coming to kill me. So this dream, Achashverosh starts thinking, getting a little bit paranoid over here. Omar HaMelech, so Achashverosh said to his servants, "Imuloi shikonis, tell Haman that he should come in." Nechnas. Haman came in. Amar lo Hamelech. The king said to Haman, "Ani roitza legadol roimem liishachad. I want to make great and to exalt a certain person, a man. Malasisli. What should I do for him?" Amar Haman beliboi. Haman said in his heart, "Lemi yachpoitz Hamelech lasis yikar yaseh mimeni." To whom does the king desire to give covet, to give honor more than me? Obviously, he's talking about me. And now the Medrash says something interesting. This is the manner of all descendants of Amalek. They always say things in their heart. But they don't say it out with their mouth. Rabbi Yo Mi Izmir points out that the first person that we saw that does this in Tanakh is Esav. In Parshas Tolos, it says, "Vayomer Esav beliboy, Yikuvu Yimei Evel Avi," that my father's going to die soon, and I'm going to go, and then I'm going to kill Yaakov. So Vayomer Esav beliboy, he said it in his heart. So he was the Zeta of Amalek. You see that he thinks things in his head, but he doesn't say it out. What's the point of that? There's two points. Why to think things in your head and not say it out? Rabbi Yom Israel says, first of all, because if he says it out, he loses the element of surprise. Esav wants to go kill Yaakov. I'm not going to go around saying I want to kill Yaakov. I'm going to wait, be quiet, wait for the father to die, and then go kill him all of a sudden. And he won't see it coming, and nothing will be able to thwart my plans. Enkin Tzadikim, We find that tzaddikim, they say everything straight out. For example, he brings a medrash that says, by the Shvatim, I didn't look up what the medrash says, but what I assume he's referring to is that when the Shvatim saw Yosef coming, so they said, oh, look, here's the dreamer, let's go kill him. What, if they want to kill him, don't say you're going to kill him. Say, just be quiet, wait for him to come and kill him. The element of surprise. No, the tzaddikim, whatever they're thinking, they say it. What's the difference? There's another reason. Because when a person is angry and he speaks out why he's angry and what he wants to do, that itself already helps abate his anger. It makes you calm down. The way I once spoke to a certain person who knows a little bit of psychology and told me that the way it is that if you speak out what's bothering you, so you give limits to what's bothering you because it's limited to those words that you said. If it's just in your thoughts, so since it hasn't been expressed, so it could be like limitless, and then it can really bother a person and eat them up. But when you say it all it is those words that you said. So it's not all those words that you said, so you could deal with it. You could deal with it better. So he says that the people of Amalek, they dafka don't speak out their hatred. Because they want to make the hatred even more limitless and make themselves even more angry so that they'll have more koyach to go and destroy and kill and whatever. And he says that that's why the Torah tells us, in Parshas Kedoshim, it's a famous passage, it's, don't hate your brother in your heart. You're not supposed to hate a Jew. But if you hate a Jew, tell it to him straight up. At least that'll help you calm down and it'll help him realize that, you know, there's a problem and you can work it out. Amalek, that's not what they want. They'll hate you, they won't tell you about it, and when you're not looking, they're going to come stab you in the back. So that's Omar Haman Belibri. So Haman thought that when Achashverosh was asking, you know, I want to give cover to this guy, this anonymous person, so Haman thought, oh, he's talking about me. So I'm gonna say these geshmaka things that I want for myself, basically. Omar loy adoni emelach. Haman said to him, my master, the king, if you want to give honor to a person whom you desire, you should bring the clothes that the king wore on the day of his coronation, and the horse that you rode upon on the day of your coronation, and the special crown they put on your head on the day that they made you king, and give that to the guy, and the guy should wear that and ride on your horse, and as if you're coronating this guy. That's all Haman wants. He wants to make it look like they're going to coronate him as the king. That was too much for Achashverosh. Omalei Rasha, you wicked person. Learn that, because Achashverosh is sort of paranoid about Haman from this dream. Isn't it enough that you just take the crown from my head? You want all these other things too? All the dafka, the clothes from the coronation and the horse? What are you leaving for the king if you're going to accord such honor to the person? When Haman saw that the king got angry about saying that he wants the crown of the king, so Chazar, he sort of backtracked V'amar, and he said a little bit differently. V'nosein halavush v'asus, just take the clothes and the horse, al-yad ish misorei ha-melech ha-partomim, from one of the chashuv servants of the king, of the couriers of the king, and he should ride, you know, he should ride this person dressed in the royal clothes and on the royal horse through the city. So an interesting thing that I never heard of before, but it makes a lot of sense. The Radal points out what was Haman thinking about this whole, you know, dressing up in royal clothing as if he's the king? Where did he? Why would he think of such a thing? Like, where is it coming from?
Yeah. One
day of
the horse ride.
So the Radal says very geshmak of pshat. The Radal says how Haman misunderstood what Achashverosh actually asked for. Achashverosh said, we'll see the words. He wants to give honor. He wants to give honor to a man whom the king desires his honor. Now, the way we always understood that pasuk is that he wants to give honor to a king that the king desires his honor, meaning the king desires that this person should be honored. Right? The Radal wants to say that Haman understood the pasuk differently. Yeah, that he wants. I want to give an honor to this person. Asher Melech Chavitz Bikar, that the king would want such an honor for himself. I want to give you such an honor that it's an honor that's fitting for the king. So that's why Haman gave him this whole thing. It's an interesting chat. And then he said at the end that but even so, you would have to have it that once you have a guy dressed up in the royal clothes and riding on the royal horse, so it's like a bizoyan to the king. So you have to speak out explicitly what you're doing over here. So that's why Haman said, and you should have someone, one of the Choshuva officers saying, so you should do to the king that the king wants his honor. Meaning we're trying to show that this is the type of honor that the king wants. Not that we're making him the king. We're just showing that he deserves a king's honor. Fine.
Sounds like this must be a private, something private going on between them. Because if Haman's sons were there, you'd think they would be standing in back of the king going, waiting their eyes.
No. I hear. I don't know. No, he probably didn't tell them about his dream. I don't know if he told them about the dream, so I don't know if they realized. Maybe he's probably on his own, he's thinking about it, you know, the dream, and then Haman's coming in the middle of the night, it's going to be very suspicious.
Yeah, but they saw what was up with the words being, you know,
maybe
spoken out of things.
Okay, what are we up to? Oh. Omer lo ha-melech. So the king said to Haman, Say va'asakin la-mordechai ha-yehudi ha-yeshe b'shar melech. Go and do this to Mordechai the Jew who sits in the gate of the king. The Medrash is going to darshan that Achashverosh said this in a few stages. Mordechai, Hayehudi, Hayeshe B'Shar Melech. Meaning, first the way the Medrash is understanding it, first Achashverosh said, go do this to Mordechai. Kevin Shishama Zeh Haman, when Haman heard this, Miyad Nivas V'Nivhal, Haman got very scared and surprised. Amar Lai Adoni HaMelech. Haman said, my master the king, Yesh Mordechai Harbe, there's a lot of people named Mordechai. Who's this Mordechai person that you want me to do it to? No, especially if we said last week, that the word Mordechai is related to the Persian, the Babylonian Avodah Zarah, Marduk. So it was a Persian or Babylonian name. So I can understand that there were a lot of people with the same name. And, you know, wishful thinking, he was hoping that it's not that Mordechai. Amalai Hayehudi. No, which Mordechai? The Jewish Mordechai. Amalai Yeshudim Harbe Shishma Mordechai. There's a lot of Jews named Mordechai. Maybe you mean a different person. Amalai, no, Hayeshim Shamach, the one that sits in the gate of the king. We know Dafka, it's this Mordechai. Amalai HaMelech. Amalai. So Haman is trying to get out of it. He doesn't want to give cover to his arch enemy. Amalai Adaini HaMelech. Loi Hayisi Chayishev came out Godol Mizeh Hayisi Yermim. I didn't mean all these things that I said about dressing him in the royal clothes and riding on the royal horse. I wasn't thinking about him. I was thinking about a person who was like more choshev than him. So if you want to do something good for a person who's more choshev, so you dress him in the royal clothing. To this guy, Mordechai, you don't have to dress him in the royal clothing, everything. Just give him some vineyards and some fields and that's enough. And then Haman says something interesting. But these things, the royal clothing and the royal horse, wasn't going to help for him. And the Radal points out that Mordechai won't feel the covet by dressing up like a king. I'm not sure what that means. But what I think he means, the Radal is saying, and if this is what the Radal is saying, it shows that even Haman understood who Mordechai was. Mordechai doesn't want covet. He's not a person who's going after covet. Dressing him up and bringing him around, that doesn't do anything for him. He doesn't feel anything from that. Give him some real estate. You know, he's a Jew. Give him free real estate. That's what he wants. He doesn't want covet. But it's interesting that even Haman realized that Mordechai was the anav that he doesn't want covet. Amalei, yeah. Amalei HaMelech, Leich Aseh Kasher Dibarta. Go and do like you said, you know, dress him up with the royal clothing and everything. And also I'll give him what you decreed, that we'll give him free vineyard and fields or whatever. Okay. Amalei HaMelech, and the king said to him, Chay Reishi Malchusi, L'chon Noah Lassos King. I swear upon my head and upon the kingdom. I mean, it's a real swear. It's fitting that you should be Dafka, the one that does this. You know, because you're a chashuv person, so you Dafka should be the one. You specifically should be the one that goes out and does this with Mordechai. So there's no way out of it. You can't disobey the king. Miad look at Haman halvush v'hasus v'halach etzel Mordechai. Haman took the royal clothes and the royal horse, and he went to Mordechai. B'sholay l'shalom, he went and he greeted Mordechai. Omer loy Mordechai, ein sholayim omer Hashem l'rishoyim. There is no peace for Rishoyim. There is no peace, Hashem says to the Rishoyim. It's a pasuk in Yeshayim. It's interesting, the Gemara has a whole story that he went to Mordechai, and Mordechai was in the Beis Midrash, and he was teaching. We're talking about in Tes Zayin Nisan, at least according to the Gemara, where it was Tes Zayin, which is the second day of Pesach, which is the day that when the Beis Midrash was there, they brought the Korban Omer, which you know, the way that you bring the Korban Omer is you take a kmitza of the flour and whatever, and you mark to the you bring the flour in the Mizbech. So the Gemara says that Mordechai was teaching the Talmidim how to do kmitza, you know, with the hand and the right. How to do kmitza with the flour, and that's what Mordechai was busy with. And Haman comes into the Beis Midrash, is like waiting for Mordechai to finish, and you know, he's not going to interrupt the shir. Oh, Amar Lei Haman. So Haman says to him, "Kum levoyish big de malchus shanalach. Go, come, get up and put on these royal clothing." You know, he doesn't even tell him what happened. He just said, "Put on these clothing." Amar Lei. So Mordechai, catches on pretty quickly. You stupid person. Don't you know that for the last three days I've been sitting dressed up in a sackcloth with ashes on top of me, sitting down and mourning this gzeir that you made about the Jews, that you're going to destroy the Jews. I'm all disheveled and everything and disgusting and dirty. I can't dress in the royal clothes like in this state. Take me to the bathhouse and we'll get me cleaned up and then I can do it. Meanwhile, Me also saw Esther. What did Esther do in the meantime? She made a decree that anyone who goes into the bathhouse will be killed. So no one was in the bathhouse. And if anyone says that they should turn on the hot water for the bathhouse, the fire, don't listen to him. So Haman and Mordechai come to the bathhouse. There's no one there. There's no attendants, and everything is turned off. So halach Haman v'dlika b'nafshei ba'al korchei. Haman himself went and he started, you know, got down and dirty, and then started setting up the whole bathhouse so that Mordechai could use it. But to be the personal attendant for Mordechai, that was already too much for him. That he didn't do. So instead, he sent his oldest son to go attend to Mordechai in the bathhouse. Mordechai took him. He hit him with his foot. Mordechai said to him, wasn't your father himself come? Is your father not my servant? Now, I'm not sure if this is sort of an allusion to that medrash that we discussed last week, that Haman sold himself to Mordechai as an eved, or could be just the fact that Haman is sort of serving Mordechai. He's supposed to be showing Mordechai kavod. He means he's like sort of my slave for today to be like in charge of it. I'm not sure if that what exactly the medrash is.
Then it would not have said the word eved, but probably would
have used Misharis or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
Because he was his eved.
Yeah.
He deserved all these things from him, and he wasn't getting
it. But
where did we ever see before this that Mordechai has this personality trait to rub it into someone or kick a dog when he's down?
Oh, so we're going to see that. One second, we're going to see that he literally did kick a dog when it's down. But we'll see in a moment when it gets better. So Haman's son went to his father and he told him, So Haman himself forced to come and he came in to help Mordechai in the bathhouse. V'gilach Rishai, and Haman gave Mordechai a haircut. V'hitziyai, and he took him out. V'hilbishai, and he dressed him up. He dressed him up in the royal clothes. Amalai, so Haman says to Mordechai. The Radal says that this small story over here, this little anecdote, is copied from the Gemara. He says it's not really part of the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, because you can tell from the Lashon. Okay, whatever. He says, Amalai, alei rechai v'alasus. Haman tells Mordechai, no, go up on mount yourself on the horse. Amalai, lo yechilna, I can't. Koch ish chilai b'sainisim v'lo yechilna. I've been fasting for 3 days, you know. I'm very weak because of the fast, and I don't have the koyach to get up onto the horse. Me'asa Haman, what did Haman do? Hirkin es tzavaroi, he inclined his neck like this. V'ara alav, and Mordechai climbed on him. V'rochav alasus, v'rochav alav. And then he was able to get onto the horse, and he was riding on the horse. Says the Medrash, b'dimane kara chada, as he was taking a step up with one foot, batash be b'kara chiti, he kicked Haman with the other foot. Like you said, he was kicking a dog when it was down. So Haman asked this question about it, you know, because I guess this is like the third time we see it already. That Haman recognizes the personality of Mordechai, that Mordechai is a tzaddik, and so he's bothered by the same question that you're bothered by, Rabbi Steiner. How can Mordechai do such a thing? Amaloi, Haman said to Mordechai, "V'haloi k'siv b'Torah doesn't say in the Torah, 'Bin poli vecha al tismach.'" At the fall of your enemies, don't be happy. So what are you're taking advantage of me and we're playing around over here? Amalai, Mordechai said to them, Hani mili b'Yisrael. That's if you have a Jewish enemy and he has a downfall, so you shouldn't be happy. But when we're talking about a Goyish enemy, it says in the Pasuk, V'ata abomai semai sidrich. When Klal Yisrael is going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, so it says, you on their high places you shall tread. You should dafka go on the places that you destroyed in the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Canaan, and dafka walk over there. We don't say don't al tismach. We say no dafka, yeah. The next thing the Radal switches the order of the two sentences. It makes a little bit more sense. V'haman machriz l'fanav, Haman would announce in front of Mordechai, Koch yeyoseh l'ish asher ha-melech chafetz b'kara. So they shall do to the king, to a man to whom the king desires his honor. U'bo Mordechai l'fanav melech, and the king came in front of the king. Mordechai came in front of the king. Now what's with Haman? V'haman nidchaf el beisai ovel v'chafui rosh. Haman ended up going back to his house in ovel, in mourning, v'chafui rosh. And with his head sort of covered, it was embarrassed. Avel mebitei, he was mourning because of his daughter. The Radal points out that Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say what happened with his daughter, but it's alluding to the Gemara. He says it could be that this part was also copied from the Gemara. The Gemara famously says that as Haman was parading Mordechai through the streets, so Haman's daughter looked out the window and she saw two people, and she assumed that Mordechai was the one leading Haman down the street. I guess they looked similar enough. So she had a pile of garbage and she poured the pile of garbage down onto who she thought was Mordechai, but it was actually her father. And when Haman looked up, she realized that it was her father, and she felt bad, so she jumped off the roof and committed suicide. So that his daughter died. So Haman is in Avelus because his daughter is dead. The chafui rosh, and with his head down, embarrassed, sort of mimasha eroi, from all that occurred to him, that he was hoping to bring about the downfall of Mordechai, and Mordechai, he ended up having to honor Mordechai. Amalei Zeresh Ishtai v'chol oyavav, his wife Zeresh, and all his oyavav. Some of Farshim say that means all his lovers. That until now he had kept a secret, but he felt so much on top of the world that he told his wife about his lovers, and he didn't think that there would be any repercussions, because you know he feels that he's going to be the king next, so who cares? But it was a mistake. They said to him, "Have you not heard what happened to Paro in Mitzrayim? They started up against the Jews. If this Mordechai person, your enemy, is a Jew, you're not going to be able to defeat him. You're playing with fire over here." At that time, Bo Nari Esther Vlokos Haman Al Mishnah Sher Asa Esther Bishivo Sur Benison. At that point, the girls from Esther's girls, her maidens came and they took Haman to the party that Esther made for Achashverosh and Haman on the 17th of Nisan. The Rav Chaim Falaji changes the Gersa to the 16th. It has to do with what we discussed before, which days were the fast days and which days were the days of the party. So once they were eating and drinking, Amar lo HaMelech, the king said to Esther, Ma she'el oseich Esther HaMalka, v'sino se'loch, u'ma bakash oseich. What is the question, O Esther the queen, and I shall give it to you. What is your request? Amar lo ish, she said to him, Adaini HaMelech, my master the king, Ima HaMelech Taiv, if it's good, if the king finds it good, tinasen li nafshi b'shelasi, give me my soul with my question, va'ami b'vakashosi, and give me my nation with my request. Why? Lefisha bo adam achad v'kana isonu lahashmid l'harig l'abed. A certain man came and he bought us to destroy and to kill and to wipe us out. V'ilava v'adam v'lishvachas nimkayno hecharashti. If we were sold as slaves and as maids, so fine, I would have been quiet. But we're not sold as slaves, and we're sold to be killed. I want you to help me with this and overcome this gzeirah. The king said to her, "Me, who's there ve'ezehu? Who is this person that bought your people and is trying to kill you? Who is this? Either he's playing dumb." I don't know anything about this.
What do
you
think? It can't get any worse.
Yeah. Amr Elohi, she said to him, Haman, this evil Haman, he's the one. Mi'ar chafufanuch. Immediately, Haman's face went down and he was quite embarrassed. Now, the king is in somewhat of a pickle over here. On the one hand, you know, Haman is like his main guy, you know, second to the king. And he has all the power, and he got the king to make this gzeirah to kill out all the Jews. On the other hand, you know, he has his queen asking him to overturn this decree. He has his dream that Haman is going to come and kill him, and he has other suspicions about Haman as well. He doesn't know what to do. The king doesn't know what to do. He's in a predicament. He's very angry at this point. The king got up in his anger from the wine party, and he went to the garden sort of to chill out and to think about what his next move is going to be. Now, what happens when Achashverosh is in the garden? What did the angel Michal do? He came and he started cutting things down from inside the king's garden. The king saw this guy coming in his garden and started cutting things down. Amaloi, mihu, so who's this guy cutting things down in the garden? Who are you? Amaloi. So the Malach Michal said to him, Ani ben Haman, shekach tzivani abba shabai. I'm the son of Haman, and my father told me I should come here and do this. So, you know, the king is very upset. And this makes it even worse. You come into my garden and start cutting, who do you think you are? Miad v'chamasai ba'arabai. Immediately, the pasuk says, his anger burned inside of him. Miyad shav miginas habison. Then he immediately returned from the garden and he went back to the room where the party was. Now, in the meantime, me'asa Michal, another thing, what did Michal, the angel, do? He gbiya wa Haman me'al la Esther. He picked up Haman and put Haman on top of Esther. Ki'ilu rata lo vayala, as if Haman wanted to have relations with Esther. And then, at that point, the king walks back in. Omar HaMalach, he sees Haman on top of Esther. He says, Hagam, famous words, Hagam lichvay shesamalka imi bapoyis. Are you also trying to come and conquer the queen with me in the house? That's the last step. That's the final straw. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. Miyad tziv HaMalach lisloy. So immediately the king commanded that they should hang Haman. Shinabat says in the pasuk, Vayom HaMalach tuluhu alav, go and hang him. Now for the icing on the cake. But at that point, what did Eliyahu Zochel HaTov do? He came down in the form of Charvayna, who was one of the king's servants. Omaroi, and in the form of Harvina, Eliyahu Navi said to the king, Yesh eitz beveisei shel Haman, mebeis kotshei kodoshim govaya 50 amah. There is a piece of wood in the house of Haman that comes from the base kotshei kodoshim, which is 50 amos tall. Now, we spoke about last week that Haman had the gold and silver from the treasures of the gold and silver from the base kotshei kodoshim, and last week I said that it doesn't literally mean base kotshei kodoshim, because we don't find that there was gold and silver hiding in the kotshei kodoshim. So I think that the phrase kotshei kodoshim means just the base of Mikdash. So over here too, it has to mean just the base of Mikdash, because we don't find anything in the kotshei kodoshim that was 50 amos tall. There was no 50, it wasn't even that big, so there was no room for 50 amos. So all of this is just talking about the base of Mikdash. Shneimar ve'ula ma'amudim asa 50 amos arkei. So there's this tall 50 amah piece of wood from that Haman has from the base of Mikdash. Miyad tziva malchus slayselav. The king immediately commanded that they should hang him on that, dafka on that. Shneimar, because it says in the pasuk, vayemer hamelach. The king said, tiluhu alav, hang him on it, hang him dafka on that piece of wood. The Radal brings a Yaakov Chemayni that has a different story that you might be familiar with, that the 50 amos tall piece of wood wasn't from the base of Midrash, but it was actually from the Teva of Noach. But either way, Chavonah told him that Haman has in his possession this big piece of wood, and Achashverosh said, oh, hang him dafka on that piece of wood. So now this is the Vena HaFeichu. He wanted to hang Mordechai on the piece of wood, and he ended up getting hanged himself on that piece of wood. The Kayam Hashinamar is Nasach O min Baisi. But Va'oimer, it says in the Pasuk, Va'yislu is Haman Allah Eid Asher Hichin L'Mordechai. And they hanged Haman on the wood that Haman prepared for Mordechai. There's interesting Nukud over here about this Charvoina guy that, with Eliyahu Novi dressing, coming down in the form of Charvoina. First of all, the Radal says an interesting nekuda. There's a halacha, it's brought down in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, that there's a halacha that on Purim you have to say Olur Haman. There's a mitzvah to be mekalel Haman. There's a mitzvah to curse Haman, and there's a mitzvah to bless Mordechai. So we say Olur Haman Baruch Mordechai. And then there's also an Indian brought down. It's mamish brought down in halacha that you're supposed to say Gam Charvoina Zochor L'Tayif. Also, Charvoina should be remembered for good. Now, what did this Charvoina guy do? All Charvoina did was say something that made it that Achashverosh would hang Haman. Achashverosh decided to hang Haman. Charvoina came and said something that made it that Achashverosh would hang Haman dafka on the wood that Haman was preparing to hang Mordechai. And because of that, we have a halacha that Gam Charvoina Zochel Etei. We should remember Charvoina for good. But the Radal asked a very interesting question. Why Charvoina? It wasn't really Charvoina. We said it's also Gemara, and also over here in the Medrash it says that Eliyahu Novi came in the form of Charvoina, and he said this. So Charvoina didn't do it. It was Eliyahu Novi, not Charvoina. So the Radal says, Yechanami, Eliyahu Novi is the one who did this. But the fact that Eliyahu Novi came down and Dafka chose to come in the form of Charvoina, that shows that Charvoina was a good person, and that's why we say Gam Charvoina Zochor L'Tayif. Not necessarily because of this thing that Charvoina said, because really that was Eliyahu Novi that said that, not Charvoina, but because of the fact that Charvoina was a good man.
Did we see Charvoina somewhere else?
Oh.
Earlier in
this time? So, in Pirkei Avos, it's not mentioned elsewhere, but in the Megillah, Charvoina is mentioned earlier in the Megillah.
Yeah.
When it's listing off one of the places where it's listing off the advisors of Achashverosh, so Charvoina, in the first place I think it was, so Charvoina was one of the names mentioned over there. But there's an interesting point, that over here in the end of the Megillah, when it says Charvoina, it says Charvoina Ches Reish Beis Vav Nun Hey, with a Hey at the end. When it mentions Charvoina in the beginning of the Megillah, it spells that Ches Reish Beis Vav Nun Aleph, with an Aleph at the end. Charvoina with a Hey, or Charvoina with an Aleph. So the Radal says an interesting point. So he says like this. Over there in the beginning, where it was really talking about Charvoina, the servant of the king, so there it says it with an Aleph. In fact, in Halacha, there's a difference between Goyish names and Jewish names, or names that come from Goyish sources and Jewish sources, even if it sounds the same, if it's a Goyish name, it'll end with an Aleph, if it's a Jewish name, it ends with a hey. But in the Hilchos Gittin, the Ramah says this, that you spell Goyish names with an Aleph and Jewish names with a hey. But the Radal says that if you take the word Charvoina with a hey, it equals 271 in Gematria, which 271 is also the Gematria of the phrase Pinchas Ze Eliyahu. 271. So the first Charvoina is spelled with an Aleph because that's really Charvoina. The second one is spelled with a hey because Charvoina with a hey in Gematria equals Eliyahu is Pinchas. It's a remnant of the fact that it wasn't really Charvoina, it was Eliyahu and Novi in the form of Charvoina. That's one point, that's another point that the Radal points out over here. But there's another interesting thing over here. Why, okay, so Haman wanted to hang Mordechai on this, but why on these gallows? So why did that, and then Charvoina mentioned that to the king. But why did that make it that the king would say, okay, so you should hang him dafka on that? Like, use regular gallows. Well, why did the king want to hang Haman dafka on these gallows? So if you look in the Pasuk says, what does the Pasuk say? Oh, the Pasuk says that Charvoina said to Achashverosh, Gam hine hoetz asher osa Haman lemordechai asher diber toiv ala melech oimid bebeis ha-melech vayim ha-melech tuluhu olav. Here, gam also hine hoetz, behold, here is the tree asher, or the wood asher osa Haman lemordechai that Haman made for Mordechai asher diber, that he said toiv ala melech, that the way you can read it is that it's talking about Mordechai, that Haman made from Mordechai. Who's Mordechai? The one who spoke good about for the king, that he saved the king from Bigson and Seresh. That's a Pasuk Shana reading the Pasuk. Rav Eliashiv in the Sefer Divrei Haggadah says that some, he says Omrim Ha'olam, the Olam says in a different Pshat, in the Pasuk, a very Gishmak of Pshat, and I didn't find this anywhere else, but he says that the people say this. I read this differently. Gam yoetz asher osa Haman lemordechai asher diber toiv ala melech. How do you read these words? Asher diber toiv ala melech. Like this. It says, when Haman made his gallows to hang Mordechai, so he didn't just make regular gallows to hang Mordechai. He went all out and he hired, you know, the best architect in all of Shushan, and had he mamish went on and made the spitz gallows in order to hang Mordechai. And at some point, Haman was looking at his gallows and was very proud of his creation. And he said, he made a comment, he said, these gallows, they're not much fit for the king. It happens to be that this Charvoina guy walked by, he heard Haman saying, these gallows are fit for the king. So now, Charvoina turns around, he goes to the king, and he says, by the way, I heard this guy saying that these gallows are fit for you. So that's what it means. Hine ha'etz asher asa Haman lemordechai. This is the tree, the wood that Haman prepared for Mordechai. Asher diber toiv ala melech. That Haman said about this wood, toiv, that's good for the king, toiv ala melech. So that's why the king said, turn around and said, no, Haman dafka should be hanging on that. The Vilna Gaon in his Pirush on Megillas Esther says a similar pshat in that pasuk. It says that it was a siyata d'shmaya that Hashem made it, that Charvoina said these words asher diber toiv ala melech about Mordechai in a way that the king could interpret it that it means that Haman said that the gallows are good for the king. A similar idea, not exactly the way Rav Eliashiv said it, but a similar thing. So that's why it ended up that Haman was hanged on his own gallows. Fine. And then the king decreed about for the Jew that the Jews should do whatever they feel is good in their eyes, whatever they have to do about their enemies that are going to come and kill them. Because of Rishol Chosfar B'chomi Dereis HaMelech L'Hareg L'Abeid B'Seineim B'Shalei Shashar L'Chodesh Shneim Asar B'Mazal Aryeh. Achashverosh couldn't overturn his decree about killing the Jews, but what he did say was that he made another decree that the Jews could kill their enemies dafka on the 13th of Adar, in the Mazel Aryeh. And then the Jews kill their enemies on the 13th and rest on the 14th. And in Shushan they had an extra day to kill, and they killed on the 13th and the 14th, and rested on the 15th, and that's what we have poem. But Aryeh Mazel al Kol HaChayos, and the Aryeh, the lion, we said this was in the Mazel of Aryeh, the lion is the ruler of all the animals, the king of the jungle. Wherever the lion wants to show its face, it goes and it shows its face. That's the significance of the fact that it was in the muzzle of the Aryeh, because the Aryeh is a strong thing and it does whatever it wants. And this, the Haman was thinking, and it turned the tables turned on himself. He wanted to go and destroy all the Jews. It was overturned onto the enemies of the Jews. It says in the pasuk, it became the opposite. The Jews ruled them. The Jews themselves ruled over their enemies instead of the enemies ruling over them. Fine. It says in the Megillah that Haman was hanged, as well as Haman's 10 sons. Anyone know the names of Haman's 10 sons? We don't have to get into that right now. It's been over there. Ein Sham. But okay, so Haman's 10 sons were hanged with them. Now, there's a question in Chazal, exactly how many sons did Haman have? We know that he had at least 10 sons that were hanged. Other sources are going to say that he had a different amount of sons. Rabbi Eliezer says, how many sons did Haman have? Arba'im banim hayu layla Haman. Haman had 40 sons. Asara shayu sefer melech, 10 of the sons were royal scribes. Ushloishim b'chol hamedinos, and he had 30 sons that were like chashev people in different provinces of the king. Shinema v'as aseres b'nei Haman tolu. Now it's bringing a pasuk that says, and the 10 sons of Haman, they hanged. Where do you see from that Haman had 40 sons? So the Radal and the Marzu say that if you look in Megillas Esther, if you look good, it says the phrase that it says that in the Megillah four times that Haman had 10 sons. So from that, the Medrash is darshaning that you take 4 times 10 sons, you got 40 sons. Rabbi Yomi Izmir says a different shot. It says that if you take the word aseres, it's 4 letters, and it means 10. So 4 letters times 10 sons is 40 sons. That's the way of understanding the drush that's brought down over here in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Now if you look in the Gemara, in Maseches Megillah, and Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, it says that when Haman was speaking to he was showing off his wealth. It says, "Vayisaper lehem Haman es kavod ashrei v'roiv banav." He was speaking about the honor of his wealth and his roiv banav, his multitude of children. The Gemara says, "Kama roiv banav." How much is his multitude of children? Amarav. So the machlik is the Gemara. Amarav lamed. He had 30 kids, 30 sons. Asara meisu. 10 of his sons died. They stamazoi died. Vasara nislu, 10 of them were hanged. Vasara machazrin al psachim, and 10 of them became very poor and they went around collecting money. Vrabban Amri, the Rabbanan said, no. Oisen shemachazrin al psachim shivim havya. There were 70 sons that went out collecting money. So, according to the Rabbanan, Haman had 90 sons, right? 70 that went collecting money, 10 that died, and 10 that were hanged. Fine. And then the Gemara brings the pasuk. They receive sveim balachem nisku al tikri sveim el shivim. Fine. So either he had 30 or 90. V'rami bar abba amar kulon masayim ushmoyna havu. Haman had 208 sons. Shneamar v'roiv banav. It says roiv banav. Now the Gemara says, "V'roiv b'gematria mason v'arbeisar havu." What do you mean, 208 sons? The word "roiv" in gematria, "v'roiv," I'm sorry, in gematria is 214. So what are you saying, 208? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, "V'rov k'siv." It says the word "v'roiv" without the second vav. So there's one vav. So you have vav, which is 6, resh, which is 200, beis, which is 2, then you get 208. So we have a machlekes here in the Gemara. Did Haman have 30 sons, 90 sons, or 208 sons? Other sources say that Haman had 100 sons. Medrash Sheikhar Tayyiv on Tehillim on Perek Chav Beis, over there it says that Haman had 10 sons who were killed, 10 sons were hanged, and 80 who were going around collecting money. And also, if you look in the piyut for Parsha Zohar, which he didn't say this morning, but the minhag, 200 years ago was that people used to say piyutim on Shabbos Zohar. So it says over there also that Haman had 100 sons, and also Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in Yeres Dvash says that Haman had 100 sons. In Chelek Aleph Drush Yud Zayin, he speaks about how Haman had 10 times 10 sons, and it has to do with the Sitra Achra, and he has a whole Kabbalah Pshat that I don't exactly understand what the significance of having 10 sons is, and it has to do with Kaychas of Tumo and Kedusha, and I don't know exactly what he's talking about. But Al Kapan, he says he had 100 sons. In other places, in the Targum in Megillas Esther, in two places it says different amounts of sons. In one place it says that Haman had 219 sons, because it either had 219 sons, it says in Targum on Perek Hey Pasuk Yud Aleph, you can look over there, and in another place in Targum in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Dalet, it says that Haman had 189 sons. And then there's a medrash from Rabbi Nassanal, I believe it's called Ma'ora Afela, from Teman. He says that Haman had 210 sons. He said that he had 70 sons who were royal scribes, and 70 sons who were officers all over the world. 70 sons who were officers in various provinces. And 70 sons were Be'iye Hayom, which usually means in the islands. Kuvia means in Greeks. Not sure. So another pshat, 210. And then the last pshat is the Rekeach. It's Pirsha Megillas Esther, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Beis. It says in the Pasuk over there that the Jews in Shushan killed Chamesh Mi'os Ish Vesaseres B'nei Haman. They killed 500 men and Aseres B'nei Haman. So the Rekeach wants to read it as Chamesh Mi'os Ish Ve'es Aseres, 500 men and 10, all of whom were B'nai Haman. So according to the Rekeach, Haman had 510 sons. It's an interesting pshat. You had 510, 219, 210, 208, 189, 100, 90. Perkei D'Rabbi says 40. Pasha pshat, it sounds like he had 10. I saw another interesting point over here about the sons of Haman. There's a Dayan, I think he's a Dayan in Ranana, maybe Petach Tikva, I don't remember. His name is Rab Chaim Shlomo Sha'anan. He's one of the Chashuv Dayanim from the Rabbanut nowadays. So he talks about like this. It says in the piyut that we say on Chanukah, in Moed Tzur, it talks about Haman, right? Bikesh Agagi bin Amdosol, Dinos Alfachol, Moikesh, Gavosan, Ishbosol, his gaiva was his downfall. Reishimin, he says to Barev Shoim Bochisa, Roiv Bonov, Vikinyanov, Allah Eitz Talisa. Roiv Bonov, Pashtus means the multitudes of his sons and his possessions on the tree they hanged. Roiv Bonov, Vikinyanov, he wants to say a different shot. What does it mean, Roiv Bonov, of Haman were hanged? Roiv Bonov? He says, the Haman and his wife were not the most scrupulous people, and they didn't necessarily keep fidelity to each other. Haman went with his people, like we said before, Oyavav, and Haman's wife went with her guys that she was with. Altogether, the 10 people that you thought were Haman's sons that were killed, so they were only Roiv Bonov. Most of them were Haman's sons, but not all of them. And furthermore, Haman had more sons besides these that were killed with other people besides his wife. Okay, that's what Dain Shanan brings down in the saying Pshat in Haman's sons. Right, weiter. Rabbi Pinchas Omer, Rabbi Pinchas says, Malach Mordechai al kol ha-Yehudim. Mordechai became king over all the Jews. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, Mordechai yata melefnei ha-melech belevush malchus. Mordechai went from in front of the king in the royal clothes. Maha malach levesh purpura. Just like a king wears purpura. Does anyone know what purpura is? Purpura is purple. And in ancient times, even not so ancient times also, purple was a royal color, and only kings were allowed to wear purple. There was in the Roman times, there was a xera, only kings are allowed to wear purple. So it's talking about wearing purpura. It also, the name of the snail that the people claim the trellis comes from, that is also known as the purpura snail, because they also makes a purple dye. If you leave out the blood or something in the sun, it turns blue. If you don't leave it out, it turns purple. And that was what they used to make purple dye out of in the ancient times. Just like the king wore a crown or some sort of crowning over his head, so too Mordechai had some sort of crown over his head. And a big golden atara, a big golden crown. Chazal tells us that that's actually a reference to his tefillin. Just like the king, fear of the king is upon the entire land, so too everyone is scared of Mordechai. Shneimar, because it says in the pasuk, kinofa pachad hayehudim aleihem. It says many people, rabbi min ha'am misyahadim kinofa pachad hayehudim aleihem. Many people converted. A lot of the goyim in the time of Purim became Jews because nofa pachad Mordechai aleihem. They were scared of Mordechai.
He was the tax collector.
Yeah, that who became the tax collector afterwards. The tax man. The word of Mordechai was spread throughout all the provinces of the king. Everyone knew about Mordechai. Just like the king, his monita, that which he minted, coins which he minted, went around, was legal tender all over the world, all over the country. So too, the coins which Mordechai minted went around the whole world, all the provinces. Shenamar, Rishamai Hailech. Word of him, hearing about him, what went? How did it go? The word didn't literally go. Rather, it means there were coins that Mordechai minted that went all over the world. Umer Haisa Mainita Shalai. What was on the coins of Mordechai? What was on the coin? Mordechai Mikan, the Esther Mikan. Pashas means like this. Pashas means heads, there was a picture of Mordechai. Tails was a picture of Esther. Right? But the Bais HaGadol, the piercing you have on the bottom of there, he says that that's not true. Why? There's a Gemara, Mesachas Bava Kama, Dav Tzadik Zainam in base. The Gemara says that Avram Avinu minted coins. And the Gemara says, what did it have on the coins of Avram Avinu? So the Gemara says, Zaken Rizken Mitzad Achad, on one side it had an old man and an old woman, on the other side it had a young man and a young woman. That's what the Gemara says. It comes along Tesis and Bava Kama, and Tesis says, what do you mean? It had an engraving. What's the opposite of an engraving? Embossing? Is that the opposite of engraving? Engraving is where it goes in. What's it called when it comes out?
Maybe embossed.
An embossing of a picture of a man and a woman on one side, an old man and an old woman on the other side, and a young man and a young woman on the other side. Yeah. So I would be bothered by a different question, but Tesis is bothered by this question. It's also to make a form of a person protruding. You can only engrave a form of a person or draw a picture, or whatever, but not something coming out. That's making it look a form of loisas al chapesel. That's what Tesis asks. It doesn't say anything. So,
yes.
Whatever it is, I think there's a lot of answers you can answer to Tesis' question. But this is what Tesis asks. You could have said that Enchami was engraved. Who said that it was embossed? But that's what Tesis asks. And Tesis answers, no, you misunderstood the Gemara. It doesn't mean that there was a picture of a man and a woman and a girl and a boy on the other side. That's not what it means. What it means is, on one side, it had the word Zokin and Zakena, and on the other side, it had the word Bokhur Besula. That's what Tesis says. So the Bais HaGadol says over here too, it didn't have on one side of the coin a picture of Mordechai and the other side of the coin a picture of Esther. No, on one side of the coin it had the word Mordechai, and the other side of the coin it had the word Esther. That's what the Bais HaGadol says over here. Now, I was just thinking, you know, in contemporary times, you know, you have the newspapers that don't put pictures of women, right? So Avraham Avinu is going to print, make coins going all over the world with a picture of a nice young lady on one side and an old lady on the other side. It's pastnished. Or Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai is going to make coins with a picture of himself and a picture of a lady on the other side. It sounds like a sort of a breach of tzniyus. But Tosfos wasn't bothered by this question. Not sure why. Okay, Lama, why did they do this? I'm not sure what the question of Lama is.
Why do you make the coins?
No, it's not asking why you make the coins. Well, the Radah adds a word. Lama zocha lekach. Why did Mordechai merit to this great stature? Shahaya ish tayv v'dayver shalom chozare. Because he was a good man and he spoke words of peace to all his descendants, which I think it means all the Jews. Shemar, it says in the pasuk, Ki Mordechai ha'Yehudi mishen al melech Achashverosh. Mordechai, the Jew, was the viceroy to the king Achashverosh. V'alav akos v'aymer about Mordechai, the pasuk says, Shmor tom u're'e yashar ki acharis le'ish shalom. That's the tom and yashar. That's the straight and wholesome. That's the end of a man of peace. Mordechai was the man of peace, and in the end, the Jews had peace. A fairly important.